Hello and welcome to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia. Today's conversation focuses on a subject that quietly affects far more people than we often realise, gambling, and the patterns that can develop around it. Many individuals find themselves caught in cycles that are difficult to step away from, often without fully understanding how or why those patterns have formed. The impact goes far beyond the individual, affecting families, relationships, and emotional well-being. And today's guest is not new to this space. Howard Reback is a gambling specialist, mediator, and consultant, often known as the cleaner, with decades of experience working directly with individuals and families affected by gambling. Howard has seen firsthand the realities behind the behavior, from the psychological patterns to the real life consequences. There is also more to come from Howard, with a book currently in the works and expected in early 2027, which will offer even deeper insight into the experiences he has encountered over the years. Howard, it's such a pleasure to have you with us today.
Good morning and good afternoon to you and all your listeners. I have to tell you, Belinda, that with an introduction like that, I just want to sit back and listen to you compliment me. It's, were you really talking about me? I feel so wanted. You know, I always begin a radio show or TV show when I do an interview, trying to make it light and very, what's the great word? Not relatable, understandable, because the topic really is in fact so heavy that the only way that I can get through my daily practice is to try and lighten up things a little bit. Get serious when you have to. But yes, the world of gambling, unfortunately, unless you're a casino operator, has ballooned and blossomed into something that has become such an incredible worldwide epidemic that it literally is, and this is not to sound hokey or old, it's completely out of control. And yes, as you correctly explained in the intro, I've been at this for, believe it or not, private practice is now 2.5 decades old, and I began with my own gambling nonsense as a kid in my 20s. So it's 40 plus years I've been in the world of gambling, and as they say, I've seen it all.
Thank you for sharing that. And it's such an important and honest reflection. So Howard, do tell us, can you start by sharing a little more about your journey and what led you into working in the field of problem gambling?
All right. So first, mathematically, we're going to have to figure out how we squeeze 42 years into 42 minutes. That's going to be our first obstacle. It's so great to hear you laugh. I love that. Well, you know, the truth is, which is all that you're going to hear, is I got mixed up in this nonsensical world of gambling in my early 20s, and there's no secret, I'm now in my mid-60s, which in itself makes me want to sit back and fall asleep. So it's 4.5 decades ago, you know, 45 years ago, I just began gambling in Atlantic City, which, of course, for those of you who may not know, is in New Jersey, a state on the eastern seaboard part of the United States. In those days, there were only two gambling cities in North America, zero here in Canada, and two cities in two states in the United States, which was, of course, Atlantic City that I just mentioned in New Jersey, and Las Vegas in Nevada. And we all know how many casinos there are today, but we'll get to that. So I went with my fiance, who became my wife and my family, to Atlantic City in my early 20s, and I just fell in love with the casino world, the lights, the camera, the excitement, the music, the women, the food, the entertainment, the way they fawned all over you. And I got sucked in to the abyss, like most people do, not realizing that there's nobody in the casino that's your friend, because their end game is to make money. And that comes from players who lose. And I was a absolute categoric example of that. A guy that didn't know what he was doing, lost money, and that was it. And after that, I just became enamored with the game of actual blackjack. Not because it was necessarily gambling, but I just happened to love the math behind the game. Anyway, fast forward, I was not as good at math as I thought I was, and I played more than I should have. And long story short, for the first third of my life, I gambled too much. I blew my brains out, metaphorically, meaning financially. I ruined my life. I lost my marriage. I lost a business and fell into a deep depression. Borrowed money from the wrong people, otherwise known as the wrong people. And of course, loan sharks. And I'll let your listeners use their imagination what that means. And then family and friends. I became an incredible liar, and it ruined my life until my good wife recommended two things that saved me. The first was, why don't you go to rehab and rewire your brain because you're out of control, which I did. And they sent me home a little bit early because they found that I was not a gambler anymore. I was just depressed because I ruined my life. And then when I got back, it was suggested to me to go back to university and get my doctorate adjunct in gambling addiction. And there was only one university in Canada that offered that program, which was University of Windsor. And let me be clear, that was Windsor, Ontario, not Windsor in England. And yeah, little closer than flying over the pond every day. And before I knew it, in my late 30s, there I was, doctor adjunct of gambling addiction. Turned my life around, built a private practice that took me to media, that took me to radio, that took me to TV, that took me to consulting around the world, that took me to consulting with casinos, blah, blah, blah. And the rest, as they say, is history. And as you mentioned in the intro, now a book deal. And by the end of 2027, a mini TV series. So it's been quite the roller coaster. And I love what I do simply because it's like putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. I just love to see families and addicts get their life back on track. My record is pretty good. I've helped, well, when you include the families and friends of those afflicted by the gambling disease, I've helped a few thousand people. So that's a good feeling. Yeah,
no, thank you for sharing that, Howard, because that's such a powerful turnaround. And what really stands out is the honesty in recognizing that deeper layer beneath the behavior. And I think it's incredibly inspiring how you were able to rebuild your life and then use that experience to help others in such a meaningful way. And you're often referred to as the cleaner. What does that role actually involve in real life situations, for instance?
Just before I answer that question, I'm going to go back a couple of sentences, if you don't mind. You mentioned about turning my life around. I just want to add, and it just came up when I was discussing my book with the publisher a few weeks ago, that, again, in full transparency and complete honesty, which is the only way we're going to do things, or I do things now, is that a lot of close family members and friends, excuse the following pun, they bet against me. They said that I had dug such an incredible hole that it would be a miracle that I climbed out. And when a few people were interviewed for the coming book, they admitted that they were wrong. And not that that makes me feel good, but it was an incredible amount of work an incredibly long journey that thankfully is over, and turning things around is not easy at all. And just before I answer your question, why the nickname The Cleaner, I want to make one thing very clear to all your listeners and those that might think they have a gambling problem. Gambling, being a pathological gambling addict, is not a choice. It's an illness. So when somebody has COVID or they have a broken leg, it's not their fault. There's treatment. So there's new ways of thinking about addiction. And luckily, the American and Canadian and British governments have now recognized that being a gambling addict, having a gambling addiction, I repeat, is not a choice. It's an illness. And most illnesses, thank God, can be cured. So if there's anybody listening that is down on themselves thinking that they messed up, which they probably did, and I appreciate them for admitting that, it's an illness. And there are ways, which we'll get to be cured. So that's the first thing I want to make very, very clear. I don't want anybody feeling bad about themselves if they have this disease. Yeah. And the cleaner actually is a very simple way how I got that nickname. My job is to not only work with the addict, but to work with the addict's family, friends, wife, husband, daughter, girlfriend, boyfriend, what have you. And usually, most gambling addicts leave a wake of trouble behind them, financially, maritally, spiritually, with their family, job-wise. And my job is not only to fix the addict and help the addict to be cured of the gambling affliction, but also to work with everybody that's been hurt. So I basically come in and clean up their mess, hence the nickname The Cleaner. I clean things up. Yeah,
that's great. And thank you for sharing that once again, because I think a lot of people do need to understand and really comprehend the fact that it is an illness, and a lot of people misunderstand that part. So thank you for that clarification.
And it's such an
important message, especially the way you've reframed addiction as an illness rather than a choice, because that removes so much shame and opens the door to real support and recovery. And I really appreciate how you've explained your role, because it's not just about the individual. It's about the wider impact, the relationships, the emotional aftermath, and helping rebuild all of that. And that's incredibly powerful work. And from your experience, so if a person, because shame is a big part of gambling, unfortunately, if a person is addicted to gambling, or there's some indication, what are the early signs that someone may be developing a problem with gambling? What does someone have to look out for, whether it's a family member or a friend or even the person themselves?
Well, I think the addict usually gives some hidden secrets. You know, they call gambling addiction the silent addiction. You know, versus booze and drugs, where you can see it, you can smell it, you can see it in somebody's personality, day-to-day movements. When it comes to gambling addiction, usually it's quiet and silent for quite some time. But the changes that happen are usually mood swings, financial changes. You know, it depends if somebody's on their own or they're living with a partner, and their bank accounts shared, money is missing. You know, I used to call it that I had the 3 o'clock sweats in the morning. You know, you'd get up at 3 o'clock in the morning worrying how you're going to pay back Mr. X when you owe Mr. Y more money, and you're also thinking about Mr. Zed, that you want to borrow money for him, and how quick can he get to the casino, and how could you lie to family and friends and your employer of why you'll be in work a few hours later or why you need to leave earlier. So, I mean, there are signs, but it's not easy to see. But if somebody really is deep into gambling addiction at one point, as they say, Las Vegas wasn't built on winners, at one point the money's going to run out. The money's going to run dry. I mean, it just has to. I mean, not everybody is Elon Musk or Warren Buffett. People have a finite amount of finances, and that's what happened to me. You go through your own money, then you go through friends' money, family, what have you, and then, of course, as I mentioned before, the loan sharks. So, at one point in time, depending how locked in you are to your partner or to the gambler, you see changes. And lying happens, missed days of work, as I said, running out all times of the day, and weekend jaunts that are inexplicable, asking and borrowing money that was never done before by an individual. So there are a few telltale signs. Not easy, not always easy to recognize. And usually, it's the gambler that just comes to a point and realizes that he has an illness, or in their case, a problem. And they usually come clean with somebody close to them. And then you take it from there. I mean, there's no set pattern.
That's really interesting because, and it's good that you've shared that because obviously some people are unaware of these things and they really need to hear it from an expert. They need to be more aware of the possibility that sometimes there aren't any signs, and it's an important insight, especially how subtle and hidden those signs can be compared to other addictions. And I really appreciate the way you've explained it because it helps people understand what to look out for without judgment. And it also highlights that how isolating that experience can be for the individual. But how much
Course.
of gambling is about the behavior itself versus what's happening emotionally underneath, Howard.
It's very, 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 very difficult. They say that the person that gets themselves into a gambling hole really never saw the end game coming and never really understood, or could possibly comprehend the damage that it could cause. But it's a thrilling ride when you begin. And we all love to be thrilled. Most people, are 9-to-5ers. They go to work, they come home, and the routine just repeats itself day to day. It's a thrilling ride at the beginning, and you become addicted to it. And at a certain point, unless your finances, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, are infinite, you wind up in trouble. I mean, casinos and gambling is not and has not been built for people to win. It's very, very simple. I was discussing something about smoking to somebody a few weeks ago and mentioned that if you go back and you watch TV commercials from the 50s and 60s, they used to say 5 out of 6 doctors recommend smoking. It calms your anxiety. Well, that was then, and this is now. We know better. And people are just learning now what gambling addiction really is and where it can really take you. But initially, when you watch television commercials about gambling, or radio ads, or even in the newspapers, it's a very glamorous field. We won't call it an addiction when it comes to marketing, because they don't advertise it, obviously, as an addiction. It's a very glamorous world to go and to gamble. And at a certain point, if it really is an addiction, it will bring you down. People, as I'm sure you've heard before, people use the expression, people chase their losses. There are basically two things that can happen when you gamble. Number one, if you gamble and you make money, you think to yourself, why am I working? This is kind of easy. I'll just gamble some more. Or you gamble and you lose, and then you figure, well, tomorrow I'm going to gamble more and get my money back, which of course doesn't happen. So it's a little bit like the government and their tax department. They're not closing. They're not going anywhere. They'll take your money today. They'll take it tomorrow. They'll take it next month. Casinos and the world of gambling has not been built for winners. It's built for entertainment and to lose money.
Yes, and I think what you've said about the way it's presented versus the reality is really important. So thank you so far, Howard, for your valuable insight. We're going to take a short commercial break with a word from our sponsors. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Belinda Walia, and today I'm in conversation with the incredible Howard Reback as we explore the realities behind gambling and the impact it has on individuals and families. Welcome back, Howard.
Nice to be here. I'm not going anywhere. I am all ears.
I know you spoke earlier about how it can impact families and relationships, but what is the impact?
The impact, very unfortunately, is usually negative, and it can rear its ugly head in many ways. For example, very often, gambling addiction, when it goes too far, leads to divorce. And here we go again. I'm speaking to tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of your listeners going public, and I marked it and wrote it in the book. That's what brought my marriage to an end, gambling. And that in itself, even though this was many years ago for me, still saddens me and shames me and embarrasses me. So that's probably one of the worst negative impacts that gambling could have. I was on fire the wrong way. Gambling ruined and took over my life. So that's number one. family issues. And then, of course, once you are hopefully rehabilitated and your wires in your brain have been reconnected and resoldered, it's a trust issue to have everybody jump back on your team. But don't think for a minute that it happens overnight, because it does not. And as I said at the outset of the show today, that friends and family of mine bet against me. And it took, excuse that pun, by the way, and it took months and years and many years for many of them to trust me again and to believe in me again. So well after you've been cured, there's still a life ahead of you that you can't rush other people for thinking what they may think. In other words, they can't unthink what they thought. They can't unthink what they saw. They can't unsee what they saw. So there's that. Many people many people that have the gambling addiction problem go bankrupt for no other reason other than they just can't pay their bills anymore. So there's bankruptcy. There's family issues. There's divorce issues. Very often, gamblers lose many of their close friends. They cocoon and they become loners. And again, you know, whether you have good friends, you have kids, you have, you know, friends of you and your partner, couples walk away and run away. It happened in my case. So there's a whole lifestyle change that happens when A, you are a gambler, and B, when hopefully you are not a gambler. It takes quite a bit of time and effort to get people back on your side. And I must tell you, personally, this doesn't mean it happens all the time, but on a personal note, there are many friends that never came back to me, even after they've read about my success. And I don't say that in a pompous way. They still haven't come back. They haven't apologized, that they didn't understand that being a gambling addict, as I was, I repeat, was not a choice. It's an illness. You know, I use the analogy when I lecture. If somebody's in a wheelchair, would you yell at them to move faster? If somebody had COVID, would you tell them to stop coughing? I mean, it's an illness. It runs its course, and hopefully you get cured, and then you could pick up where you left off when things were good. But it's an illness, and I am, as they say over the years, and I'm quoting others, not just myself, I mean, I'm 0.1% of those that not only turn life around completely 180 degrees, but everything is great, and I get what I did, and even though it's 45 years later, I still think about it every day, probably because I'm in the business. I spend more time now in casinos than I ever did when I was an addict, but that's only because I'm on the other side. But it's a process, and let the process do its thing.
Thank you for sharing that. That's incredibly real, and I think what stands out is the part where people don't often talk about that even after recovery, there's still a journey of rebuilding trust and relationships. And sometimes not everyone comes back, like you said. So you've worked in very intense situations. And I know this from our previous conversations that we've had. But what is one case or pattern that has stayed with you?
Well, I'm going to give you two cases. One is almost comical, so we can make things a little bit lighter. And the other one is very heavy, which will bring us back down to earth. One case, and there were actually three like this, but they were all very similar. I had one client, probably going back just pre-pandemic, probably in 2018 or 19. Mm-hmm. I had a client that was gambling, we'll make up a number, $5 a week. And I'm sure your listeners can imagine that it was a lot more than $5 a week, or we'll say £5 a week as an example. And after much discussion with his wife, we decided that he had done well in business, made a nice living. But I had tried to explain that it wasn't the amount, it was going to the casino that was his high. So we basically, to make a long story short, agreed that he would go to the casino weekly, but with £1, not £5, okay? And that, yes, and that's why I'm not your average gambling therapist, because I took him to the casino, and with £1, not £5. Anyway, long story short, after a couple of weeks, don't you think he hit the jackpot and won a ton of money?
Oh my goodness!
And as the bells were ringing, I mean, I was sitting in a chair right next to him here at the Montreal Casino in Canada. Yes. And as the bells were ringing, as the noise was blaring, as the confetti was falling from the ceiling, as they came to bring him balloons, he looked at me and said, "You know what? I've never come to the casino with such little money, and look what I won." So that was kind of comical. And he said, "Yeah. Who said gambling isn't fun?" I said, "Buddy, this happens maybe once in a lifetime, and not even." So right now, he's off of it, but I mean, there I was telling him how not to gamble, should not gamble, awful to gamble, and he won
a jackpot.
So, yeah. You know, I guess I turned red, but everybody understood that my intentions were good. And what I did, and I'm proud of myself at that time, I thought on my feet because I had never thought that would happen, was I had the casino make the winning check, 95% of it, payable to his wife. And the money was put away. He was given a few pounds to play with, blah, 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 and have some fun. So that was a funny episode.
Yeah.
Not something that you see every day. But to make things a bit heavier and to bring the conversation back down to earth, as I just said, I've had a few suicides. And that is never easy.
No.
It's never understandable. But it just shows you when desperation takes over your mind and body and your soul, what humans are capable of. And very unfortunately, just before the new year, I think back in early November of 2025, I had a suicide. It was a 27-year-old mom of two. And she had taken the money that her and her partner put away. They were saving up for a couple of years to take their kids to Disneyland in California. And she grabbed the money, went to the casino, lost it all, came home, told her husband. One thing led to another, and it ended in her blowing her brains out, literally.
Oh,
and I was at the crime scene, and that's when you can see in real time what gambling can actually do if you're a gambling addict. Two kids, a husband, a crime scene like you've never seen, and all because of a slot machine. So there are all kinds of stories, from the light to the heavy. But believe me, moreover, most stories are not good and don't have good endings.
No. And that really brings into focus both sides of it, the unpredictability and also the very real devastating consequences I am so sorry that you have to be witness to these events as well. I mean, it's all good and well, we can joke and laugh about the jackpot, but as you said, the reality is devastating. And I think what stands out is how quickly things can escalate from something that feels manageable into something deeply overwhelming. And it really, again, highlights why awareness and support are so important. So thank you, Howard. Thank you so much for keeping it real. We're going to take another short commercial break with a word from our sponsors. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Belinda Walia, and today I'm joined by the amazing Howard Reback discussing gambling behaviour and the path towards awareness and change. Welcome back, Howard.
Hi, nice to be here. I appreciate you taking some time.
So in your experience, what actually helps someone begin to break that cycle of gambling?
The answer is not set in stone, but usually somebody that has a gambling addiction, they know they have a gambling addiction. Very few people might admit it publicly. Very few people might admit it to their family, to their friends, what have you. But I believe, after interviewing and working with so many people, including myself, you know when there's a problem. When you're a gambling addict and you know that you've burned through all your savings, when you know that you've maxed out your credit cards, when you know that you've borrowed money from family and friends that you have no idea how you'll ever going to be able to pay them back, when you've done what I did and go to loan sharks and what I call the bad people, you know there's a problem. But you're always hoping for the big win to clear everything up. And you know what? That very, very rarely happens. All you do is you dig your hole deeper and deeper. So I believe that recognizing you have a problem is where it all begins. It's like, you know, my late dad smoked And I remember the time I was 13 and 14 years old bugging him. My brother and sister would bug him to stop, and of course, he never did. And when he was in his early 70s, he had a mild heart attack. That scared the crap out of him. And one day at my house, he went, "I'm done." Nobody provoked the idea. He just decided that he was done, and he went down to our garage, threw his cigarettes away, and never picked up a cigarette again, and lived well until 94 years old. Meaning that until you realize it yourself, everybody can bug you, everybody can talk to you, it's meaningless. And that's just how I see things. And once there's an opening that you think somebody kind of recognizes they have a problem, that's the time for family and friends, softly, not aggressively, to move in and try and have a discussion. And when they're open to a discussion, they can see either their religious figure, a gambling therapist such as me, their family doctor, a good friend that they trust and believe in. But really and truly, until the gambler himself or herself really wants to stop, nothing's going to happen. Nothing. You've got to realize it for yourself on your own.
And I appreciate that honesty once again. And we've spent most of our conversation talking about the person with the addiction, but what support do families need when they are affected by someone else's gambling? And do you feel enough awareness and education exists around gambling today?
I'm going to answer your second question first. Categorically and emphatically and honestly, there is not nearly enough education about gambling addiction. People talk about what do we learn in high school or secondary high school or even elementary school? Because gambling starts with 11 and 12 year olds on their iPhones. We should learn about financing. We should learn how to fix the toilet. We should learn about finances. And we certainly should learn about gambling addiction, only because there are ads for gambling everywhere. Yeah. I want to be careful that I'm in Canada and North America, so I want to use proper European terms. If you watch a football match or a soccer match, as we call it here in Canada, television, movies, magazines, there are ads everywhere for gambling apps. Gambling is everywhere. And as I always say, when I lecture or talk, I always mention the same thing. Gambling isn't going anywhere. Smoking isn't going anywhere. Drinking isn't going anywhere. We, as the public, have to learn how to deal with it. It's bigger than us. So your answer, is there enough education? Is there enough awareness? The answer is absolutely not. The numbers prove that 25% of all kids by the age of 13 or 14 have done some kind of gambling. Mm-hmm. So yes, we have to learn about that. And as far as what support should families give and how they are affected, I think understanding is key. And as I mentioned 20 minutes ago in our conversation, that it's an illness. And this isn't 30 years ago where we just thought, you're a dummy if you're a gambling addict. Stop it. What are you doing? No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. It's overrated. The old way of speaking to somebody with an addiction, it doesn't work. It's an illness, and you have to treat an illness accordingly. So families and friends who do notice and are aware of the gambling addict have to work with them, not against them, not berate them, not make fun of them, not call them stupid, not be condescending. Work with them and understand, and I repeat, that it's an illness. So I'd like to think that we've evolved in 2026 where we should But that comes from lack of education, that we should understand, and I keep repeating, that it's illness. Not nearly enough people understand what's behind it. And that's a shame.
Yes. And that's such an important point, especially around education and awareness, because the exposure is everywhere now and people aren't always equipped to understand the risk of gambling. And finally, Howard, what message would you want people to take away from this conversation today?
Well, there's two messages. There is a message for the gambling addict, and there's one for somebody who knows and loves and is watching a gambling addict. For the gambling addict themselves, please don't be hard on yourself. And I'm repeating for the 19th time, it's an illness, and I urge you to get help, whether it's me or somebody that I mentioned before. Reach out. It's an amazing thing. People are kinder than we think. People like to help. And for those that are watching a loved one ruin their life and possibly ruin your life, if they're that close to you, discuss it. But don't be aggressive. Don't be condescending. Work with them. Don't work against them. Don't make fun of them. It's horrific. And for somebody who lives with the disease, it's horrible. And people who have the gambling disease need to talk with people who are understanding, not to be made fun of, not to be yelled at, and not to be threatened.
Yes. And Howard, where would our listeners find you if they wanted to get in touch?
Well, they could stop. No, they could call me in Canada or by email, which I suppose is the best. And the address is the following: howard@therebackgroup.com. And please reach out, even if it's just to talk, to vent. Perhaps I can answer a question or two. Usually I get back to everybody within 24 to 36 hours.
That's good to know. Howard, thank you for joining us today and for bringing such honesty and depth to the topic that so many people struggle with, often in silence. This has been an incredibly important conversation and one that I know will resonate with many listeners who unfortunately have been exposed to gambling themselves or know someone who has. And thank you to everyone listening to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. If today's conversation resonated with you, or if you know someone who may be affected, please do share it. Awareness is often the first step towards change. To close today's conversation, I've chosen a part of a song called Fix You by Coldplay, a fitting close to a deeply honest and important conversation. Until next time, take care of yourself and each other. Lights will guide you home and ignite you.
You never try.